Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, we bring in Lachlan from Australia. And thank you, brother, for having the courage, the vulnerability, and just a cock and balls energy to reach out and send in a voice message detailing like an amazing topic. It's how to deal with anxiety that your wife is experiencing. This is such a potent and a beautiful topic that Lachlan has brought up on the dashboard of my awareness to just give a response, a really in-depth response that is going to, it's going to serve, I would say, almost like the majority of guys. Definitely, you know, our wives are deeply emotional being to their core. The 90% of women would sort of self-identify as being like predominantly feminine core beings in their expression. And the feminine is emotionality. And anxiety is definitely one of those emotions that periodically or on a very regular basis, you know, there's a spectrum there, but it can be really, really intensely difficult to deal with as a loving husband looking on, trying to do your best to support her through it. But it can be a very intensely challenging emotional state to support her women through. In a once-off, if she's super anxious, like periodically, in that moment, that's super challenging. It's absolutely like a stupendous, momentous challenge to every man there if that's a more regular experience. And there's a lot of it happening out there in most marriages. So many guys speak to me about this. So, Lachlan, thank you so much for reaching out. And again, guys, the invitation is there to all of you. At the bottom of every podcast link, or in the description of every podcast episode, there is a link where you can send me. It's super easy. Just click, send me a voice message with what your number one biggest struggle is in marriage. If it's, I just need to put a bit of context in this. If it's a topic that I haven't covered already in the sense of in these personalized responses to you guys that are sending in messages, if it's a topic I haven't covered and I feel that it's one that is applicable to, you know, a lot of marriages, I'll do a podcast episode directly on that. I can't guarantee that because maybe there's some, like maybe your number one struggle is like this super, you know, unique one that's just unique and to just you. I can't give a guarantee of doing a podcast episode on it, but I do promise, it's my commitment that every single one of you that sends me a voice message, I will serve you directly on that, a direct email. Like if I can't do a podcast episode, I will invite you on to a one-to-one call where we will go deep. I will serve you impeccably in the most valuable way possible for every man that takes the action and has the courage to send a message. I will go above and beyond to serve you and make sure that you get supported on overcoming that topic. Right, let's get down to the message that our powerful brother in Australia sent us in. Lachlan's message was this. The stuff I'm struggling with at the moment is helping my wife through some anxiety. I'd love to get some feedback around that. There's been a lot of anxiety in the past few years. She's already quite highly strung being a lawyer. Some good ideas and guidance in supporting a loved one through that sort of thing would be really helpful. Lachlan, again, thank you, and deep bows and deep gratitude from me personally. This really supports me in the mission, but deep bows and on behalf of the whole movement here, this, you know, sending a message in, it serves us all. Sending the context here, guys, there are constantly these threads of repeatedly copper fastening in key messages, and this is so key here. Building a foundation of context in this, you know, fix and tell, she'll scream from hell. It's this one thing I've said different times before. One of the main things here, and Lachlan, as I say, when I give these, when I produce these episodes in response to something, in I make assumptions, brother. Of course, I'm not to know. So, you know, if a lot of stuff will hit home, if certain things I've made an assumption and it doesn't hit and it's not true for you, I sort of, it'll be generally ticking a box for a lot of guys as well. But so often we try and fix and tell our women what to do when they're anxious or in deeply challenging emotional states. Like the masculine mind, we try to fix. If you fix and tell her what to do, she'll scream from hell. Fix and tell, she'll scream from hell. One thing, and like just in the principles of this approach, you know, you can learn a million methods or techniques or strategies. But you'll only know, you know, a strategy or a technique is only useful in one specific situation. Whereas if you know principles, well, from one principle or concept, you'll be able to find your own way to know how to navigate life in a thousand different situations. That's why principles are so important and so potent. One universal thing beyond dealing with anxiety in your woman, just, you know, navigating and showing up powerfully with her in all senses, is you work with her state, not her story. State creates story. What I'm meaning by state is her emotional state. It's her emotional state that creates the story. Now, this is sort of like trauma-informed, technical, getting in the mechanics of how human psychology works. If state creates story, well, then work with her state, not try and work with her story. And time and time and time again, this is almost universal. As men, we lock in on what our wives are saying. We lock in on them and we try to follow that. We try to support her. Okay, she said that, so I'll say this. And we unwittingly get into fixing her. And fixing, from my experience, is working with her story. And Lachlan, like, I just want to own, man, like, first 12 years of marriage, and I still get caught with this. I really do. I get caught with this at times. Honestly, when my beautiful queen, and like, just to build context in, she has had immense challenges with anxiety down the years. Want to let you know, and guys listening in, you know, it's like, I know personally firsthand what that looks like and feels like as a husband. It was devastatingly hard for me to hold space for that, not knowing how to support her. And in many senses, when I tried to support her with the fixing, with the, hey, you know, like dealing with the stories, like, hey, well, honey, you could just try this. She get more frustrated with me. So there was a real like punch in the stomach sort of feeling of rejection, or she didn't trust me, etc., etc. And it would alienate me from her more and more. So I really, on a personal, first-hand basis, I know what this feels like as a man, and the frustration, because, you know, loving Matilda as I do, and I know Lachlan and all you guys listening in, you have great intentions, and there's immense love for this beautiful woman that's in your life, and not knowing how to support her in a way that's deeply meaningful for her, I mean, that's deeply frustrating. But the greatest frustration is that when we start trying to work with their story, like taking, listening verbatim to exactly what's coming out of their mouth, and then rational-minded, okay, I'm going to respond exactly to that. And that just doesn't tend to work. Why? Because state creates story. If story created her state, well, then work with the story. But what's happening in many senses is this, the story that they will speak initially, that's surface level. It might seem, they might be totally convinced in that moment that, hey, like, you know, I'm super anxious because the boss said something at work and there might be cutbacks and my job might be hanging in the balance, or I don't know, like that might be an initial thing, but like you start going deeper, there's always a deeper layer of story, a deeper layer why she's feeling anxious. A ton of the time what the external life situation has triggered is a deep pattern of trauma from childhood. And that's why if you start trying to fix the story, your wife will just, her nervous system won't feel satisfied and she'll get frustrated. You'll give her a brilliant fix, a brilliant solution. You'll hear what she's saying. It's like, oh, that's the problem. You're anxious because of this. You know, A to B. Like, you'll just give her the A to B situation. Again and again. That doesn't work. That tends to exasperate the situation. It tends to either put her into shutdown, where she's shut down and won't open up, or it doesn't lead to a satisfactory relief of the situation for both yourself and herself. So fixing equals working with her story. Lachlan, feeling is what, if I was working with you, like in one-to-one coaching or in Heroic Husbands men's circles, progressively, and I just build that context, this is like, as always with these answers, it's more like a work in progress type answer rather than a masculine, oh, you've got the whole answer, now it's solved. You need to work with this over time. I'd be supporting you with learning how to feel into her situation, not to fix her situation. Feeling is working with her state. When, and like, this is so foundational, when your woman feels seen, heard, and safe, because you're working with her anxious state, not the story, she will get to the real root of what's really happening in her own story. She will get there by herself. But foundationally, your absolute priority, Lachlan, is making sure she feels seen, heard, and safe. Then the second most important foundational principle that I want you to take on, and want every guy to take on, this, guys, these principles, they don't just deal with anxiety. They're super important when holding space and supporting your woman through a real depth of anxiety she's feeling at the moment. They're super potent. They have transformed everything. Everything in my relationship with my beautiful queen. She still has anxiety. She's dealing with trauma and different things. She still has it. But it's like, it's a walk in the park compared to what it was by applying these principles. And with guys I coach one-on-one, like, guys actually start enjoying being able to hold space because they're able to, they know exactly, they have clarity about how to approach it. I'm going to be talking about how to approach it in a very detailed way. But the second principle here that's relevant for every aspect of your relationship is you are always transmitting a message that's evoking a response. Always. When you step into the same space as your woman, you are always transmitting a message, whether you're aware of it or not, consciously or subconsciously, unconsciously, you are transmitting a message, and her nervous system is picking up on that really acutely, moment to moment. That's what's so challenging about being in a deep, intimate relationship, is we're constantly evoking response. The female nervous system, that feminine core, is super responsive to what message we're transmitting. And this is where we get deeply frustrated. Part of this is, like always, is the taking 100% extreme ownership for your approach. But Lachlan, that's one key thing that I just want to like underline here to build a really rock solid foundation under your feet and under every guy's feet listening in is accept that principle. You are always transmitting a message that's evoking a response. So, you know, unconsciously, okay, she gets more frustrated. She shuts down. You shut down. You feel rejected, blah, blah, blah. Or whatever that dynamics is for you, Lachlan, or other guys listening in. When you become conscious that you're transmitting a message that's evoking a response, well, in this situation, you know, you want to evoke your conscious intention would be, well, she's in a deeply anxious state in this moment. Well, then you would want to consciously evoke a state of safety for her or a deep sense of security in the moment. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, there again, the masculine part of you, Lachlan, I get it. Man, like, we ultimately want to fix the situation. The fix to the situation is supporting your woman, you know, down-regulate from a high state of anxiety to down-regulate, to turn the volume down to the point at which she's feeling safe and she's feeling secure in the moment. Oh, she's back. She's breathing easy. So you want to fix the situation, but it's this sort of paradoxical. It's by not trying to fix her story, you can fix it in other ways that are infinitely more potent and powerful and like exceptionally effective. And the masculine mind, guys, like, we want to be able to fix the situation, but it's like just coming at it from a tactful way is what I'm going to be talking about. So there's the context. Super important to build that context in. Now let's get down to like black and white, super potent, super powerful strategy. I'm going to break the answer down into micro and macro level responses, Lachlan and every guy listening in. The micro is in the approach of, okay, your wife comes in home from work, you come in, whatever, you meet up in the space and she's in one of her super anxious moments. I'm going to talk about like this is exceptionally effective as an approach, no matter how catastrophically anxious she's feeling in the moment. I'm talking about 10 out of 10. I've dealt with my beautiful queen of these moments. I've supported guys in coaching to become like grade A ninjas in how to work your levels of self-mastery and support in a way that you're transmitting so powerfully, so consciously, a state of trustworthy safety within your own nervous system that her nervous system naturally evoke a powerful response of felt safety and security within her. It's that potent. So there'd be micro, that level, direct one-on-one meeting her super anxious state. And then there's going to be the macro, which is super important. It's the level of your leadership, the whole life view of how you're showing up is potentially very often directly or indirectly causing a deep level of anxiety in your woman. So the micro, breaking down into steps. What's super important, Lachlan, and every guy listening in, and this again is like a whole, this is just like for how you show up with the feminine in your partner all the time, irrespective of anxiety or not, but it's super potent and so important when she's feeling super anxious, is you've got to ascertain immediately, you know, it's go time. It's like, okay, she's super anxious. She's in this state. You can see, you know, she's in that moment. You've got to ascertain the masculine practice in this moment is, am I all in or all out? What I mean by this is, if you're going to do this dance with her in that moment, you must have radical clarity in yourself that you're 100% present. You are 100% present with absolute crystal clear intentionality that you are going to hold impeccable space for her, and you're doing it. It's like, it's go time. It's like, you know, as a sports person, you know, are you all in? Because when the referee's whistle goes, like, you've got to be all in. Up until that point, you can say to your coach, to your trainer, it's like, man, I don't think my hamstring is going to take it. I'm all out. But like, once that whistle goes, if in the sporting arena you sort of were carrying this niggling thing. You weren't psychologically up for it. You were so fearing that your injury, you're just that you weren't going to be there. Your performance is going to be subpar and it's going to be shit. Okay? So, if you pretend to half do it, you're going to get crappy results. She's going to feel the insincerity. She's going to feel that you were really wanting. Again, it's the fixing energy. If you start holding space for her, but like you were sort of semi thinking, oh man, I hope this is just like a 2-3 minute, 5 minute max conversation. And then you start getting edgy because you actually had to send that last couple of emails in work and they were really time sensitive and it didn't really suit to hold space for her, but you're doing a nice guy thing. You're sort of like, oh, here, I'll make space. But you weren't fully ready to be all in. That's going to infuriate her. That's going to piss her off. And it's going to be the opposite response you're going to evoke from her from safety. She's not going to feel safe. So, ascertain first and foremost, am I all in or am I all out? And yes, it's going to be important to hold space for her. She might have a deep need in that moment. But if you're all out in that moment, be direct. Hey, baby, I really want to hold space. I really want to listen and be there for you. I've got to tend to this thing that's super important right now. I have this commitment. I have a call and work. You know, whatever it is that you have, I want to tend to that first so that when I'm with you, I can be 100% present and all in with you. That okay, baby? She's going to be okay with that. But you've got to own it and you've got to lead with that level of clarity so that when you are with her, you're all in. It's go time. The whistle is blown. You're 100% there with full on commitment to doing whatever is necessary to support her. So that's, again, that's a platform. Number two, and this is, Lachlan, this is the built on the you're constantly transmitting. Whether you know it or not, you're constantly transmitting and you are constantly evoking a response from your beautiful queen. Now, her state of anxiety might have nothing to do with you in that moment. Whatever has triggered her anxious state in her life in that moment could be like phone call, conversation. She's seen reports or shitty stuff in the world. She's in that high charge. It's a triggered response from old childhood wounds, etc., etc. It mightn't have much to do with you. But you taking extreme ownership of how your body and especially your nervous system is showing up, that's where your power of influence, of positive influence lies. This is one of the most potent parts of my one-on-one work with guys and in deep men's work in men's circle is in this checklist approach that I'm talking about. I'm going to be repeating this again and again. It's quite simply the foundation of my radical marriage transformation with my queen, and it's at the core of the most unfucking believable turnarounds that are happening in my deep work with guys that want to transform their marriage. The self-mastery presence checklist approach. So you're always transmitting, but you just have to determine, Lachlan, if you're aware of what you're transmitting or not. And there's five key pillars of awareness that when you become aware of them in the moment and you can, in a checklist approach, you know, you can just touch base super quickly, one breath, check base, touch base with where you're at in these five key factors. You do this as a practice. Remember, this is a practice. This is a slowly but surely approach. You will get rapidly better by slowing down to speed up with this. Is touch base with stillness. Stillness, touching base is with that the most powerful way, Lachlan, is slow down your breathing. You start breathing deep. Anxiety has its own breathing state. But mirror neurons are super powerful. Mirror neurons are those neurons in the depths of her brain that touch base and attune to the emotionality of the person that's in front of us. So if you want to have a powerful, positive influence over your woman's emotional state, both in the moment and long term, Lachlan, you've got to get really good at like you setting the most relaxed, calm state of the two of you and being able to hold that. Your breath is one of the most potent, if not the most potent tool in supporting you do that. Immediately when you're all in and you touch base with stillness, you just start breathing deep into your belly, slowing your breath down. That by itself could be enough. Now I'm going to support you with all the other stuff, so it all together will make you an unstoppable space holding fucking like hero husband of being able to hold space for her anxiety and have her feel so safe that, I mean, it's going to transform everything. But this is like super potent. So drop in, stillness, breathing deep and slowly. Set an intention from that stillness of you're intending to connect with her. You're intending to feel into her. Just set that intention. Number two, sight. Notice, become aware, Lachlan, where your sight goes, where your eyes go. When our women go into a deeply anxious state, I know for myself, maybe I'd engage for the first couple of minutes, or if there was any nervousness in me, I'd avoid. My eyes would look to the side, or I could be looking down at the table. I would intermittently look at her, but I wouldn't be locked in with a soft, open-hearted gaze in her direction. And like the gaze is not just the eyeballs. It's, you know, making touching base with your sight, the muscles of your eyes, like in your forehead. You don't roll your eyes to heaven, you know, when she says stuff. Remember, this is technically speaking, she's in an irrational state. Again, if you get caught with the words, like 99.9% of husbands do, our eyes will tell her what we're really thinking. And like, it's so easy to have like what seems like a tiny little rolling of the eyes that triggers her that she's totally unsafe and she'll disengage from anything you're doing. So becoming aware of what's happening with your eyes in these moments, Lachlan, is super important. Guys listening in, vicariously lean in. You know, if the title has triggered you to listen in, clearly it's something that you want to become like an absolute fucking ninja and king at holding space and have this positive influence. Your eyes, your eyes, your eyes. If you notice them that they go off to the side, just say, hey, sorry, baby. I just noticed, like in moments when I feel a little bit off or a little bit nervous, or, you know, just I mightn't be able to hold space for you. My eyes start avoiding. I've just noticed that habit. I'm now locking back in with you. Please continue. Tell me what's live. Our women do not want perfection. They do want presence and they do want progress. So apologize, reconnect, open heart, soft gaze, looking her direction in the eyes. Number three, shape. Again, and it's okay. It makes you human, Lachlan. It makes every man listening in. It makes me human. I still trip up on this stuff. But this checklist is the thing that I constantly go back to, and it transforms everything. Is, you know, it can trigger a really super high charge anxiety. Man, it can trigger shit in us where, hey, like, we can have childhood trauma. We can have moments where it's like it's really fearful. When our mothers might have been super anxious, super depressed, super like worried, and we could have had like deep fears come up as kids. That shit can be re-triggered. It can be triggered in us in the moment. So our bodies will tend to tighten up when we get triggered by the depth of anxiety our women are experiencing in the moment. So again, posture. Just if you notice yourself tightening up, you cross your arms, you're looking away, your feet are pointing to the door because you're intentionally sort of like, I just want to go out the door. I had jiu-jitsu training and this is not the time for this conversation to be happening. When you notice it, again, just apologize. Say, sorry, baby, I was pointing to the door. I'm now facing you completely. Please go on. Tell me more. The fourth one is state. Your own state, Lachlan. Name your own state. Name it to tame it. Sometimes it's just in your mind. But it's important to go, oh, I'm feeling frustrated now. Because if you notice that there's a charge of frustration, that might bring an awareness to, hey, like you actually, maybe you weren't all in, or you didn't realize that it was going to take, like, you're now 20 minutes into the conversation. Your frustration, or you could have an anger, could be like a part of your bodily wisdom telling you, hey, you really need to get to training tonight because the black belt, you know, the black belt assessment was going to happen. It only happens every 6 months, so it's super important. Baby, I forgot to tell you, but I have a charge of frustration now. Speak it to her. I have a charge of frustration because I forgot to mention that the black belt is there tonight and it's really important that I get off to training now. I can't be late. Can we circle back later? This is live in the conversation. Just name it to tame it. Don't pretend that you need to be like a Zen-like monk with no emotionality at all. No. You need to be like a Zen-like monk that's able to hold space for your emotion. That your emotion doesn't, again, your emotional charge will communicate through your shape, will communicate through your eyes, will communicate through your breath if you tense up your breathing, and that is evoking response from her. Your emotional state, Lachlan, will, if it's unconscious, if you're not conscious with it, it will screw up your communication and your transmission in a moment, which will evoke less safety from her. So when you become conscious of it, and like you're able to go, hey, I have a feeling of frustration now, I have a feeling of anger, I have a feeling of worry myself, I have a feeling of whatever that is, normalize that within yourself so you can come back and relaxed. Name it to tame it is like one of the key things. When you can name it inside of yourself, once you name it, you're back into your prefrontal cortex, checklist style, bring yourself really grounded. And then story. We have three forms of story in our head in the form of thoughts: blame, shame, claim. Just I'll keep it rudimentary. If you're blaming her, like for having anxiety, if you're blaming, getting super frustrated in your thoughts, blame thoughts are thoughts that are against your woman in the moment. Clearly, they're not going to really work. Become aware of that. If you're shaming yourself, if you're beating the shit out of yourself, oh fuck, I'm useless at holding space for etc. etc. That doesn't work either, because both of those forms of thoughts, of thinking, brings tension into your body. And again, if there's tension in your body, it's communicating through all of these levels: your eyes, your breathing, your shape. You know, it feeds more story to come of blame. It just does not work, man. She will pick up that like from a million miles away, and she will shut down. She will not. You will drive her into deeper levels of anxiety. So, with that, like you shift to claim. Like, what am I not taking responsibility for? And in all of this episode today, Lachlan, there's going to be plenty of what you're not taking responsibility for. That's the kingly way. This is like taking your 100%. She has her 100%, but this is owning your bit. So with that said, you know, so you're all in. Let's assume you're all in. You're like, okay, it's go time. I'm going to be 100% present. You've locked in. You're going to hold space. You have a safe structure and container that she can sit and be in your presence with. You're then owning your five key parts: stillness, deep breath, sight, soft gaze with her, shape, open-hearted facing her, state, you name it to tame it, and then you get back present with her. Story, you're shifting blaming and shaming thoughts into claiming, like, what am I not owning now? And you're speaking that. Apologize, speak it, and get back present with her. Now, guys and Lachlan, I was speaking with Dewey Freeman recently. Amazing guy. It's been a really popular episode. Dewey has like fucking, I don't know, 4 or 5 decades of incredible gestalt therapy experience, helping couples around the world, etc., etc. He brought it to my dashboard of awareness. Like, there are 3 attachment needs, and we have rudimentary needs as human beings. We have attachment needs, and we have authenticity needs. Without having our attachment needs met, we can't come and get authentic. We can't be totally real. So again, when your woman, again, this is like you're working with her state, not her story, Lachlan. If you don't meet your woman's attachment needs in a moment, I'll tell you the three foundational attachment needs she has. If you don't meet her attachment needs, she will not get real with you and ultimately real with herself. So all that is story. She won't get real to the base level, ground zero. What I'm really anxious about is this reason here. She won't get real. We can't be radically authentic without having our attachment needs met. Again, anxiety is like her emotional system telling you her attachment needs aren't met. So the three foundational attachment needs are food, touch, and movement. What I want every single one of you kings listening in to is to realize is that attachment needs equal food, touch, movement. If you can meet these needs, that equals safety for your woman's nervous system in a moment. And from safety, all the good shit comes. So what meeting attachment needs, you know, on a super practical basis, this is like strategy, guys. Strategy, but strategy from an open heart, that you're bringing love. It's not like, oh, Mark told me like the 3 points that I have to do. I have to do point A, point B, point C. It's like, Mark, you know, you send me an email later going, Mark, that bullshit didn't work. It's like, I did this, I did that, I did, like, okay, guys, none of this works if it's just pure, like, rational-minded strategy. It's got to come from an open heart. Again, from your nervous system, those 5 points of presence. Soft, loving, open heart, soft gaze, you're smiling, you're completely there, you're totally present, okay? Attachment needs, what this might look like on a practical basis, Lachlan, is, you know, get a cup of her favorite herbal tea. I would say I have chamomile in stock. You know, if there's a regular experience of anxiety, chamomile, whether you believe in herbs or not, like some organic chamomile, just, hey, baby. Make sure she likes it. but whatever it is, like a cup of herbal tea can be a good thing. Or a cup of whatever. Or it could be a snack. But like a cup of tea is nice. It's what we, you know, we'll meet up with somebody. Oh, hey, man, here, do you want to meet up? Have a coffee, have a chat about that. Bring food into it. It's soothing. It's really, really soothing. Again, it's meeting one of the attachment needs. You know, when you're sharing food, or sharing a drink, you know, you want to have a conversation, share a drink. It has a grounding effect. And it's setting a container, like you're making the tea for her. She's sitting, she's feeling safe already. You're like, that's a real direct expression of, I'm here with you, baby. So it's like, you make her the cup of tea, or whatever your version is of that, Lachlan. Number two, touch. Ground her with a lovingly firm hand on the thigh. You know, you can communicate. This is a verbal is important, of course. You know, when you just ground her like a nice, strong, firm, loving, you know, hand on her thigh. You know, I'm here for you, baby. I'm not going anywhere. You know, some of the deepest wounds in the feminine soul are abandonment wounds. It's like that the world will just leave them. You're explicitly stating, I'm here for you. And Lachlan, what the hand on the thigh does, which is super potent, is, guys, and all of you listening in, when your woman is in a super anxious state, anxiety is quite a mental charge. It's like, you know, it's driven by thinking, probably like sometimes obsessive, uncontrolled thinking about a certain event or a certain, you know, anxiety can be a worry. It's like, I think technically it's like a worry about the future. So it's when your woman gets caught in your head, when you have anxiety, you get caught in the head. It's, oh, just, I can't stop thinking about this thing that's tomorrow, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's thinking. It's a head-centered, mental, scurried activity where when you come and like you rub her thigh, or maybe you place your hand lovingly, you just caress her heart, her chest, that brings her back into her body. It's grounding. You know, that lovely, even now, it's actually soothing. You will see kids do it naturally. Where I will actually do, I'm doing it right now. I'm just caressing your thighs. Literally, if it's appropriate to what you're doing, you're not driving or whatever, but like one hand, whatever. jogging, cycling, bike, maybe not. But if it's available to you in a safe way, just literally caress your thighs right now. I'm like, let's make this alive in the moment experience. No passive listening ever on this show. It's soothing. Now, if we're really caught in our masculine head and we're super rational, it's like, I'm not doing this fucking shit, like I'm fucking caressing my thighs. It's bullshit. Give me the strategy, Mark. That's part of the issue, guys. Is, you know, we don't get into our own bodies, so we struggle to support our women get into their bodies. But this experiment, like if you do that for a few moments and you're just caressing your thighs, it's soothing. It's actually very soothing. Kids naturally do this type of stuff the whole time, and we're shamed out of it. It's like, oh, what are you rubbing your legs for? Like teachers will do it, parents will do it. What are you rubbing your legs for? What are you doing that? What, like, you know, the laugh at a kid tickling their arm, it's soothing. It's down-regulating their own nervous system in a very natural, spontaneous way, and we get told not to do that, so we lose connection with our self-soothing strategies. This here, in this moment, it's not self-soothing. You're supporting her get down into her body in a soothing manner. So a hand on the thigh, hand on the heart, you know, again, it's meeting those three sacred attachment needs. You've met it with food, the drink, now the touch. The third one, Lachlan, is movement. Now, movement can mean movement. It's on the deepest level, it's movement of energy and emotion, but it can mean movement in space. You know, part of those attachment needs, you know, cup of tea is one thing, but maybe she's in a really high charge of it and like, hey, baby, you might just move from the space. You know, a lot of these conversations, like for me, a lot of these conversations, the kitchen tends to be the hub of, you know, busy family life. A lot of you guys have kids. You know, the kitchen comes in from work. She's in an anxious state, and we end up that's the arena that we end up having this conversation. And there can be TV going on in the background. Kids can come in. You know, oh, hey, mom, or hey, dad, like, oh, what's for dinner? Or are you bringing me to practice? Whatever, whatever. That's all part of it. Lachlan, I would suggest is like, there again, if you're all in, it's part of your leadership in this moment is like create the environment, create the safe structure around your woman that she can feel seen, heard, and safe within. Very often, just hey, baby, let's just go to the living room. You know, we close the door with your cup of tea. You know, you can light an incense, move into a different room. Maybe if there's like go out to the garden, you know, just going out into nature, you could go for a walk. It's movement together. Hey, baby, let's go for a walk, baby, or let's go to the room. You bring the cup of tea in with her. It changes. A change of environment will change the state. But if you're not aware of this and you just have it in the central hub and busiest part of the house, where you know what's triggering her, she's wanting to hold space for her anxiety, but she has like concerns of a mother, concerns of like the 20 different things that she has ahead of her. She's like, oh shit, I'm late home from work. I'm d dinner, the kids, everything. She won't feel like she can go where she needs to go. Your job as a powerful, conscious husband, Lachlan, is create the environment around her, and that very often can be find a different space. So, you've now met the three deep attachment needs, Lachlan. It's my absolute expectation that a lot of the shit, like for you, Lachlan, and guys listening in, maybe sometimes you got a drink, maybe sometimes you change space, but like it's pretty much guaranteed. And I mean this with like just seeing the patterns of every single guy that I've been coaching and holding space for, it's very rare that you've done this systematically. In every single time that you've held space for her. If you had, this would not be a struggle. Like it's that literal. This stuff that I'm suggesting is so fucking powerful in the positive aspect of influence you can have on her nervous system that if you were already doing it, it would not be a struggle. So you're doing, there's a lot in this, but this with a practice can become quite second nature. So you're on top of your 5 points of self-mastery, that checklist, you know, slow breathing, soft eye gaze, shape, open-hearted facing her, name it to tame it with your state, your story, you know, you're abandoning blame and shame thoughts, claiming what I'm not taking responsibility for. You're meeting her attachment needs strategically, bit of food, touch, ground her, movement to a different space. Now, already, if you've done that, Lachlan, already her nervous system is like, I can tell you for a fact, her nervous system is probably probably feeling so safe that the charge is gone. However, what then? It's still only halfway. If it's a super potent charge, man, it just mightn't have gone yet. And you're not trying to fix it, remember? None of this is like, oh, I'm doing the strategy to get rid of it. You're doing the strategy because you're a powerful man and you want to show up in your fullest power. Like, irrespective, this is not a clock time thing. This is one thing, guys, the fixing element of us. This is maybe one of the most core things that I need to communicate here. This is not like a competition to fix the situation in the shortest time possible. Sometimes with my woman, I've had to, with my queen, man, I could be there for an hour and a half. Obviously, if I have time to be there for an hour and a half, but sometimes on a weekend day, it's like, hey, I change the schedule, change the plans, because it's like in that moment, she's needing that level of time. Other times, yeah, like a lot of times, man, it can transform the charge of anxiety super quick. And I'm very grateful that the vast majority of times, the charge is transformed super quick. My masculine part, I want to get the fuck on with life. That's okay. I want my wife to feel better. That's okay. But the important thing is that you're not trying to do this as a strategy to get the situation resolved and fixed as soon as. That level of intentionality will screw things up. So it is super effective, but you're not using it to end her anxiety. It's just where you're coming from is always important. When her attachment needs are met and you're practicing self-mastery, owning your shit of what's life in your own body, and you know you're all in, then it's that she feels seen and heard. One of the most important things here, you know, when guys classically, we jump to fixing, it's like we hear what she has said and we go immediately to, oh, well, you're anxious about this, you know, the thing coming up at the weekend. Well, I can do this, and that to solve that problem. Or baby, like all you need to do is make that one phone call and like organize this person to come in and help you. Just really don't jump to that. Really, I'm just like, it's okay. It's okay, I get it. One of your genius zones as a man is in solving problems, you know, finding solutions to problems that show up in life. That might work brilliantly at work, etc., etc., etc. But when your woman is in a deep embodied state of anxiety, it's just not effective. It's really not effective to start trying to fix it. So what's most important, Lachlan, from you verbally is, first and foremost, acknowledge her. It's like, baby, that must be really hard for you. Or baby, that must be really overwhelming for you to be feeling this level of anxiety in the moment. Acknowledge her. Validate her feelings. What this doesn't mean, Lachlan, this does not mean that you're agreeing with what she's saying. You know, that's where guys get as a man. I don't want to validate her because, like, sometimes it can feel like total bullshit what she's saying. What she's saying can be infuriating to her rational mind because it's like, man, you know, like, this is so easy. Just pick the go with the solution. Like, why are you thinking? Why are you getting caught on this repetitive loop? Sometimes it's anxiety about old style. It's the same shit, different day. topics, man, that's okay. Or it can be a new topic. Again, it's not the story. Don't get caught in the story. You're working with her state. I'm reminding you again, Lachlan, be really radically clear in yourself. You know, literally remind yourself in a moment, okay, Lachlan, you're working with her state, not her story. Work with her state. So when you're working with her state, acknowledge, validate that feeling. That must be really hard and overwhelming for you. Or whatever else that you would put in to reflect back that what she's feeling is okay. You know, you can literally say that, baby, if you're feeling a super high charge of anxiety in this moment, I just want you to know that, hey, that's okay. That's natural. It's obviously important for you to be feeling this in the moment. You know, your nervous system, your body, your mind needs to be having this feeling now. So yeah, I just want to let you know I'm here to see what wisdom it has to offer you. Whatever. Be artful in your language. The next one, Lachlan, is mirror back. Again, helping her feel seen and heard. Very often as men, we get caught again in the fixing sort of thing. We're semi-listening, but we're more formulating what our answer is going to be than really listening. This will drive her anxiety insane. Mirror back is an exceptionally powerful communication strategic approach. We're masculine cored men. The majority of us listening in, we like strategy. Strategy is soothing to our masculine soul. You know, mirror back, guys. Baby, I believe I've heard you say, and then give the most accurate summary of what she has said. You know, in anxiety can be, you know, she goes for 5 or 10 minutes. Oh, I'm so anxious, blah, blah, blah. And she's filling in the blanks about the thing at work, and then there's the thing, and then there's the global crisis, and then there's the market crash, and then there's like my mother, I don't know, she's getting old, and like, how am I going to mind? Is she going to be minded? And it could be a whole heap of everything. It might be on one topic, or it could be like just she's anxious and every single anxious thought in the world is coming true and she's speaking that to you. Baby, I believe I've heard you say, give the summary. Did I hear you correctly, or am I missing anything? Lachlan, this to the feminine nervous system is like spiritual medicine, man. Just doing that, that's one thing that since, you know, it's a number of years I'm practicing with my queen. When I do practice it, you know, when I don't get caught, I have used this. When I use what I'm saying to you, Lachlan, this is a potent reminder to me to the power of this. Sometimes I get caught. Bit tired, bit hungry, bit whatever. Man, I've had a shitty day at work, whatever the fuck. It happens. If I don't practice this, her anxiety cranks up. Or whatever her irrational, emotionally driven state in the moment, it gets worse. I can guarantee you, when I do this, she drops in super quick, the vast majority of the time, or on a super high charge. Instead of, you know, it can be a 1 hour, 90 minute thing. Instead of like, man, she would go 5 or 6 weeks with like this potent charge of anxiety in the background to that level. So you mirror back. That's pretty much like, I mean, you keep going in the loop of this. This is not, Lachlan, this is not like a case of all of these steps. They're like step one, then step two, then step three, then step four, then step five, six, seven, boom, done. These are like things that you are intermittently doing. You know, the attachment needs. You know, it's not that you meet the cup of tea and the touch. Maybe you touch her at the beginning and she's grounded, but then she feels a bit grounded, but you're attuning to her. And man, you might just like, you know, touch her like 5 minutes later, or you might just give her a hug. You know, it's stuff that you're using. You're continually aware of her attachment needs. You're continually aware the whole way through. Keep touching base with yourself. How's your breathing? Get back to your breath. You know, you might get caught up if she's super anxious. You might get caught up in your own state. But just becoming aware of your breath, you bring back to deep breathing, bring back to soft gaze, bring back your shape. It's okay. I can pretty much guarantee you, like, this happens to me. It's like I lose contact with my breath. I have to bring it back. I notice my eyes are looking away. I apologize. I say to Matilda, like, hey, I'm back with you, baby. Soft gaze. Excuse me. I was avoiding. It felt a bit awkward. I had unchecked anxiety of myself or frustration. Well, I'm here, baby. Soft gaze again. You keep bringing yourself back on the self-mastery presence checklist approach. And keep acknowledging her. Keep mirroring back. You do this, Lachlan. I'm pretty sure, man. Like, her anxiety, it's not that it will cure her anxiety. You don't want to cure it. You don't want to fix it. But she will feel seen, heard, and profoundly safe. And remember, safety is pretty much the polar opposite of anxiety. An anxious state is not safe by definition. So by meeting your attachment needs, owning your shit, the 5-point approach, and having her feel seen and heard, man, her nervous system is going to be feeling way safer, way more secure. And this is like, it's an unstoppable way. I do this in Heroic Husbands men's circles and one-on-one coaching. Lachlan, to every guys, as I say, this is the stuff that we would be practicing systematically every week, every session. We'd be doing processes and exercises. We'd be working with guys, giving direct feedback. You know, you would need, this is a practice, it's training. It's a super potent, all these points are super potent, and I do expect, Lachlan, you'll be able to integrate a lot of them. You know, I do want to build in the context for myself. It's like years of training. I still go to incredible trainings, one-on-one coaching. I have my men's group. I'm constantly training this part of myself. I'm constantly getting feedback on my blind spots. I screw up constantly. I fall down, but it's like falling down, get up. What's the old Japanese saying? It's like fall 7, rise 8. Constantly. But I'm constantly getting it that bit better because of that feedback. That's essential. I want to build that in. That said, for those of you guys like that, what I've already spoken to, that's the micro part. Repeatedly come back to this exercise. If this is a super big challenge and struggle for you, keep coming back to this episode. The macros response, we're quite a bit of time in, but unapologetically, guys, you'll know part of this podcast for me is like I really fucking want to serve you and serve you in depth. Superficial responses, like, you know, just fucking, it's a social media thing. This, you know, oh, just here's the, like, 3 points, and, like, she won't feel anxiety anymore. And, like, it sedates, it feels good. It's like, oh, just go off with these 3 points. It's horse shit. It takes way more precision. It takes way more in-depth awareness in the real octagon of marriage. Like, there's a lot going on. This is, like, super, this is simplifying the complexity of it all, but it warrants a deep dive. I don't like superficial bullshit that's like being put out there saying that it resolves everything. Don't like it. Marriages are ending as a result of bullshit being put out there. And I really don't like that. Anyway, the macro response. I'll be a little bit quicker on this, Lachlan. Already with your micro response in the moment, that will like be super potent. I could speak really in depth about the macro part. It's super important because we're always transmitting and we're always evoking a response. And one super, and again, Lachlan, I can't make any commentary if this is live for you or not. You know, I'm only working with, you know, that beautiful and direct and concise message that you sent, but I do know from a pattern, and guys listening in, like, really prick up your all your ears, because this is relevant for every guy. Most husbands, I would say 99%, are not showing up as fully in their role as a family leader as they could be. I want to acknowledge every man, Lachlan, you included front and center in this conversation, but every guy, you're fucking badass what you're doing, how you've been showing up. You're 5 years in, 15, 25, like 5 decades in. There's a whole array of guys listening in. And I love it and I appreciate you and I acknowledge you for your courage and your leadership to actually listen, to listen in, to put this topic on the awareness of your mind, you know. But we're not leading anywhere near what our queens need from us. And this can be a super potent one. Like, oh, but she doesn't want me to lead. Oh, there can be a ton of that stuff. And like, that's a different topic for a different day. But like, there's a major thing. If I was working with you, Lachlan, and guys listening in, if you were coming to your Heroic Husbands men's circles, I'd be asking questions like, okay, Lachlan, well, where are you not leading? I'd be asking like the likes of, what are you not taking extreme ownership for in your family environment, in your relationship, in your love life? You know, things like finances. Nearly every guy will have some blind spot, some part of his kingdom that he just doesn't like taking ownership for. Finances for me is a major one, Lachlan. You know, I've spoken before. I was speaking with Justin Sinceria. He's going to be live next week. I had a beautiful conversation. Look out for that one, guys. About trauma, about our own trauma. I had major trauma on finances. Growing up with childhood poverty, there was like super consistent high level stress states on the topic of money. So I would just go into a bubble. I just learned to dissociate. So I was not leading in finances. This, Lachlan, this is like up until the last 12 months. I transformed my marriage radically, but on the topic of money, I was not leading. This was creating immense anxiety for my wife because, man, finances are like, they're not everything, but they are everything. You know, it's like, you know, money doesn't bring happiness. Well, I can sure as hell tell you from firsthand experience, when you're living in, when you're living in like poverty levels or consistent stress on it, or you could have lots of money, but you still have like an emotion set point from old childhood stuff that you're just constantly worried about it, that creates anxiety for your wife. Maybe there's health concerns. Maybe you're eating too much shit. Maybe you're eating too much salt. Maybe she has said stuff to you. It's like, hey, baby, you know, like, maybe you need to take care of your weight. Or I used to get super triggered when Matilda would make comments on the amount of salt that I was using. I'd get super triggered. And yet, just in the last number of years, I just realized, it's like, wow, she actually is deeply concerned. And by holding space, by doing all of these things above, Lachlan, and guys listening in, I started realizing, like, she actually burst into tears one time. She's like, I'm just so anxious that, you know, like, if you don't mind your diet, like, if you just keep using too much salt, like, you have a stroke or a heart attack or some bad shit happens. Like, and like, she was in tears, like, total love. It's like, Mark, I don't know how to do life without you. I love you that much. It fucking cracked me open, guys. I learned, it's like, wow, you know, I thought she was criticizing me. I thought it was like, oh, you're fucking, I had this like immature, oh fuck, here she comes like breaking my balls, like just let me eat what I want to eat type shit. But like, she had deep anxieties and concerns that if I kept going the way I'd be going, like, my health could suffer and I could die ultimately and she'd be left and she loves me that much. I was so moved. It's like I finally got where she was coming from. But it's like health concerns. Very often us as guys, we sort of disregard our health. We disregard pains we're having. We disregard, you know, stress in work, etc., etc. We don't mind ourselves. And again, this can be like a very subconscious driver of anxiety for women. In your business, finances, you know, maybe you're not leading in your business. Maybe, you could be following up with clients a bit better. Maybe, your business is just, keeping its head above water just, and there's a continual stress there. What are you not taking extreme ownership for? Like, can you get business mentoring? Can you get into a mastermind? Are there certain, like, have you improved your marketing and selling? I mean, you can be super good at your craft, but like, have you studied how to, do you read up and get training on how to run a business, not just to be like the technician, the you're oh, I'm a really good builder, but like, if you're crap at marketing and selling, this creates anxiety, a background of anxiety. Setting boundaries with others. Lachlan, again, I'm just going with certain classic, these are classic ones that show up in men, the classic patterns where guys don't show up in full leadership. And if you're not fully showing up in full, taking extreme ownership in these aspects, your woman will pick up on this. She's your queen. She's there on the throne beside you. If it impacts you negatively, it will impact her. She'll be worried for this. She might know it, but she will. It cranks up the charge of anxiety, the sum total of accumulated reasons to be anxious for her. How are you with setting boundaries with others? A deep source of anxiety for women, for my woman, like for years, was my complete inability to set boundaries, respectful boundaries with others, with siblings, with family of origin, with other men, with other women. It's like, man. That's another one, like friendliness with other women. In the modern world, with social media, like with instantaneous, like quite deeply intimate access and communication with other people that sort of can go on behind the scenes. There can be a lot of there's a lot of guys out there that are like they think it's just the norms. Like, you can be sending pictures and images, and it's like, oh, but I don't want to cheat. But it's like it's way too intimate, and that can be an unspoken, unchecked topic for your woman, where again the fears of abandonment is like, oh man, like there's all of this shit going on at home, marriage, very often it's not 10 out of 10 the feeling of connection and fulfillment the further you go into marriage. Very often it's like a deep challenge. I have a challenge every day to keep that level of connection, and I'm doing this work. I'm like constantly obsessing on this. It's a fucking challenge for me, guys. It's a challenge for us all. But for a woman, it's like if there's no boundaries with other people, then she's like, there's this fear. Man, he's just such a nice guy. He's constantly nice. He's always helping others, and he's helping these women out, and he's always talking about this one at work, and oh, he's messaging this one, and like, yeah, he's saying, oh, I'm just helping her out. But it's like, man, that's really it can be a real cause unless there's super conscious communication going on and you're super grounded with this and you're super okay with it and you've done tantric work and communication work, etc., etc. A lot of the time, it can go unspoken because women don't want to say, oh, here, I'm just feeling nervous about these other women. But it can bring up a lot of inadequacies, etc., etc. And she can be anxious about that. Do you have a vision? This is another point. Anxiety is about the future, but if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a purpose that you're showing up for, Lachlan, and by extension, all guys, th this is like a thing where a man without a purpose that's bigger than himself, that he aligns his whole life behind, he loses trustworthiness with his woman. You're more likely to get sedated, you're more likely to just like faff around, you're more likely to just scroll on social media, to have a couple of beers too many too often. It's no right or wrong, but it's like you just a little bit too often, and you sit watching TV, or you're not fully present, you get distracted. All of that makes living with you a little bit less safe than it could be. And if she's experiencing a lot of anxiety, Lachlan, high chances there's aspects, what can happen quite often, man, and touch base with yourself. You gave the impression, man, and like this happens a lot where there's the super chilled out one in the relationship and there's the highly strung one. Opposites attract. That's just natural. That's fun. There's no issue. But what can happen very often is like the guy can get super laid back and so laid back and relaxed and calm about absolutely everything, it drives his woman insane because he never gets switched on for anything. And she's like, oh man, I'm constantly high strung. I'm constantly on edge. I'm constantly, look at you, like you're just totally relaxed. Now, I'm not, like being totally relaxed is actually what I'm talking about, like practicing. But it's like in Buddhism, they were saying, it's like this thing in meditation. Alert, alert, relax, relax. It's the balance, guys. You know, you can be super chilled out to the point at which, like, you know, if he was any more laid back, he'd be lying down type thing. That can be cool, but it doesn't engender trust, because a lot of the times that's like a persona that we have, but we're shirking the responsibility of profound, fearless, masculine leadership with that. And that's the balance, man. That's a genius zone, Lachlan. If that, like, you seem really super chilled out, your voice was actually quite soothing, etc., etc. I've no more details, but this is very, very common, where that level of relaxation is not counterbalanced like with the super alertness of leadership mode. That could be like a big area. It is for a lot of guys, where the women are super high strung, he's super relaxed. It's part of the genius of the relationship that attracts them together, but it's part of the stuff that alienates the woman. A woman can start beating herself up very easily. Like, you're so relaxed and look at me, I'm just a fucking mess here all the time. Sometimes that can happen. It's happened in my relationship. But bring the super relaxed genius zone, man. But alert, alert, relax, relax. It's like that meditation. It's in your nervous system. Not so relaxed that you, like, if you leaned over anymore, if you were any more laid back, you'd fall over. No, that's not a turn on for your woman. And she'd be more super anxious. Because if you're like that with everything, you're not in leadership mode as well. A great leader is completely relaxed yet super alert. There's this balance. Great performers in any level. Conor McGregor on the way up. Super relaxed in the octagon, but super alert also. Great CEO, super relaxed. Engenders this feeling of safety and trust with everybody that's following his or her lead, but super switched on also. It's in the balance. The last thing, this is super comprehensive. It's such a topic. Again, thank you, Lachlan, for bringing this up. But to be super comprehensive, I want to mention one other super important thing that is stupendously relevant in modern culture, and it bears speaking to. I probably will do an episode on this directly. Where your attention goes, the energy flows. Anxiety is energy flowing. And the big question, again, Lachlan, if I was working with you and working with guys in deep coaching, I always bring this topic up. Always, always, always. For the topic of anxiety, but just whole life, you know, feeling dropped in and grounded and connected in marriage and within yourself, is, you know, what TV, what social media, what movies are you placing your attention on? Modern media is fear-inducing predominantly. And what's happening right now in the moment, the central core agenda and story that is being bombarded and shoved down our necks through news, through the radio, through newspapers, is exceptionally fear-inducing. That the world is on the brink of breakdown climate-wise, political-wise, financial-wise, you know, economic-wise, there's war, you know, there's this bug that just could come up and shut the world down again, etc., 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 etc. Okay, I'll own my thing. I think like there's hidden agendas behind all of that. That never serves. The core part of controlling humans en masse is when you're in a state of fear, you will look to outside authorities to give you whatever suggestion will end that state of fear. That's just how human psychology works. It's an authoritarian control mechanism. This has been proven countless times. I don't want to, there's no point going into the agenda and the whole thing, because in this bullshit, in the same part of the bullshit, is anybody that speaks anything about any of these major agendas that are being pushed forward has been labeled and ostracized as a conspiracy theorist. You know, any rational minded person that's going to think on their own sovereign two feet is put to the side. So it's not to say that the agenda is wrong or that, but what I'm saying is, if your family's nervous system are constantly on social media, where there's social comparison, where there's any sort of form of shit that's going on, if you jump on social media first thing in the morning, yourself or your wife, and you're on it late at night, real major sign. There's a ton of anxiety that's happening as a result of that. But if you're looking at TV at catastrophic images of shit around the world that is not actually impacting your life in that moment, that's going to be jacking up anxiety en masse in the background nervous system of your wife and your family, etc., etc. So I personally, and this has supported my wife, we have stopped looking at TV years ago. The news, radio, never. Ever. I go into my dad's house, he constantly has the radio on, Lachlan. Constantly. He's always listening to shit around the world and trying to tell me. First of all, I set a boundary with him. I say, I don't want to hear about that. Thanks, Dad. But also, I'll walk in and it's like, he knows at this point, I used to ask permission in the beginning. I just walk in and switch off the radio. He knows. I don't listen to that. Ever. We're more relaxed, we're more happy, we're more connected as a result, man. I just like, it's a really, really environmental significant thing for all guys. We're 1 hour, 16 minutes into this beautiful episode. I'm really enjoying this, Lachlan. Thank you. And thank you, every single guy, for listening in. I just like my depth of appreciation to you all individually. I'm trying my absolute best to create like one-on-one connection with you all. My invitation, I want to say thank you. Well, first of all, again, to Lachlan for sending in the voice message. It's a core part of me that wants as much as possible, guys, within the limits of my capacity of attention, the numbers are growing, but I really want to encourage you. I want to hear from you. The invitation there is, like, if you have a number one struggle and you would like to, you know, to be gifted this type of a response to you, or get like one-on-one support with it, like Lachlan has, and there's a long list of guys now that have done this. I love it. It's becoming part of the culture of this podcast. Thanks to the guys that have reached out. The invitation is there. At the end of every podcast episode, in the description, you're going to find a link where you can send me a message. Tell me what your number one struggle is in marriage and I will support this and prepare it for you. I also, in the description, always will have a free discovery call. You can have a discovery call, no strings attached. And in that call, whatever your struggle is, I will coach you, I will support you, go super deep, and you will come out the far side, every single guy does, with a radical sense of clarity and confidence about like what it is that you need to do, you know, starting from immediately after the call to start creating more beautiful, juicy connection and sexual attraction, etc. Just whatever is relevant for you. So I want you to know that, guys. I put the challenge out in the last week to stop lone wolfing and like sign up for discovery calls, because they're free, they're available to you. There's no point suffering and struggling in silence like I did for years. It's there for you. Thank you, guys. The response was really brilliant. It actually, I noticed that guys answered the call, and what guys are showing me coming in is like, you know, there's a lot of suffering out there, there's a lot of struggle out there. That's okay, that makes you human, but it's like, guys, the support is here for you, and the invitation and the masculine challenge is there. You know, a lot of the guys that have made the call have said, Mark, I was considering it for months, I was putting it on the long finger, having this intention, and at the end of the call, every one of them are saying, I'm glad I finally just did it. That was so amazing. That was beautiful to go off with radical clarity and confidence. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. So I'm just saying, guys, the lone wolfing, that tendency, the blind spot is you'll put it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. I don't want divorces to happen. I don't want more, like, I don't want one day of shit to happen in your marriage that is not necessary. I really don't. I'm deeply emotional on this. I suffered so much like a fucking dog, and my wife suffered so much trauma as a result of me unwittingly not showing up in a way, and by extension, our kids. I don't want that for one of you. I don't want it for you as a man. I don't want your confidence to be eroding in the background because things aren't going well. Also, I don't want it for your wife, your beautiful divine queen, these exceptionally precious members of society. They are so important. They're at the core of it. They are sacred. And our kids for the next seven generations. I like, if I can support you at all, reach out, reach out, reach out. Guys, extending astounding levels of love and appreciation for each of you individually, sending you a brotherly, manly fucking bear hug digitally across the world to you all, to this expanding movement. It's up at like 1,500 listens in the last week. It's fucking sensational. It's beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening in. Repeating the mantra, the deepest reason why we do what we do here on a bi-weekly basis: better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.